We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Once again, we're here to Take Time for Jesus. Glad that you're inviting us into your homes, your automobiles, by the computer, by whichever means you're receiving us. We pray God's blessings upon you, that he will bless you and keep you. And you're in our prayers, and we pray that we would pray one for another. The tragedy that happened up there in the Connecticut is terrible. But we need to remember to pray for the mothers and dads and those that lost their loved ones there. It's a tragedy that it happens, but my friend, that these things are happening all across our land due to the fact that we're living in those perilous times that I've often spoke about. But we need to pray for them. The children, as far as I'm concerned, they are with the Lord now, as one little boy there on the TV made him that he's lost of his sister, but he knew that she was with Jesus, and I believe that. But we need to pray that, Lord, that God would comfort those at this time of the loss of their loved ones. It's a time that most people rejoice because of they claim for the reason for the season, but you know that those people are suffering. So those of you out there that hear me, pray for them and lift them up before God, that he would give them comfort in this time of loss, and that he would bring forth what his intent to be. Those children are saved, and they're a lot better off than you and I are. But I just thank God for the opportunity to say, pray for them and those others that have lost their loved ones in these other tragedies across the land and the other things that happen with the storms and one thing or another. My friend, we're living close to the time of the end of this world, as you might say. Now, I'm not conferring that the 21st day of this month is going to be all over with. I don't doubt there won't be some changes made in some way or another. They did just a few days ago. There was a change made in people's lives that they least expected. So today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. What's done yesterday, we can't change, and we don't know what tomorrow may bring, so we just have to live one day at a time and seeking after the kingdom of God with our whole heart. So as we go to prayer, let's remember them that have lost loved ones, that God would comfort them. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to lift up that precious name of Jesus. We pray that you would be with those that lost their children and others there that has lost everything, Lord. We pray that you would comfort them somehow or another, that you would bring things and make it, Lord Jesus, all right with them and comfort them in the time of this sorrow and this grief, that you would help them, Lord, to understand if there's any understanding to it. We wonder why, but often times we got to realize that the devil is out seeking that he can devour. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. So Lord, we just pray that your comfort and hand and the spirit will be with those, oh Lord, and help them, oh God, for this tragedy, that they can be comforted only by you and give you praise and glory. We thank you again for the opportunity to go into the homes and automobiles and however that they're receiving us. We pray that your name be lifted up and exalted, as a desire of our heart is to bring the kingdom of God to the attention of those that hear us, that they may seek after you with their whole heart before it's too late and while that there is time. We pray and we thank you, and we give thee the blessings and praise and honor for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Here's my wife. She's got something here for you. So listen in.
I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity to come into your homes and computers or wherever. And I just thank the Lord that one day he looked down in my life and found me worthy to save my soul. And I just pray it for each and every one of you out there this afternoon, that something will be said that's going to get you to turn your life around. We are living in the last days. Not many preachers are preaching it. There's I heard on the radio yesterday or the day before where it says, the Bible says, by the foolishness of preachers, men are saved. But the thing of it is that he said today that there's foolish preachers that are preaching something other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need to get this message out. Jesus, the only one that can save your soul. And I just thank God again for the time that he looked down and saw me worthy enough to put his spirit into me and to claim me as one of his children. And as I always find something to read, and I've said before, if there's anything that we read on here that if you would like to have a copy of it to share with others, or just go into the internet and you can hear it again there. But I just thank the Lord that he's given me the desire to share his things that are soul-searching, and it'll cause you to think and to really consider where you're going to spend eternity. And this is an article in the Harvester. To the sleeping saints, wake up! In his wonderful letter to the Ephesian church, the Apostle Paul included a shattering statement which is astonishingly appropriate today. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Amen.
Ephesians 5 and 14. We usually think of this church as outstanding spiritual, particularly in the light of our Lord's commendation in Revelations 2 and 3. Yet Paul's words indicate that even in his day, 30 years earlier, it had already begun to leave its first love. So he seeks to arouse them with a disturbing diagnosis, a drastic demand, and the promise of a dazzling development. The disturbing diagnosis, like many in the church today, the Ephesians were spiritually asleep, unaware of the seriousness of lying, uncontrolled anger, yielding to the devil's devices, stealing, foul language, bitterness, wrath, and anger, immorality and covetousness, filthiness, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, fellowship with the world, and consequently the inability to discern God's will for their lives. That is found in the Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and also in the 5th chapter. And a drastic demand for today is arise, awake, and arise from the dead. A sleeping man and a dead man are alike, oblivious to their surroundings, but the sleeper can be aroused. Once awakened, make deliberate return to alertness. How many Christians need to do this spiritually by waking to their true condition and deliberately dropping any habit, any relationship, and any fleshly indulgence which keeps them in a spirit of spiritual death? Where are we today? Look around you. Christians claim to be Christians, but is their light shining out that others really know that they belong to Christ? If you were on trial today, would you be it? You have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Jacob urged this upon his household in Genesis 35 and 2. Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Having therefore these promises, Paul wrote the Corinthian church, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7 and 8 and 1. The dazzling development is Christ shall give thee light, light in the darkness of this lost and dying world. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. Paul had already prayed that these Ephesians might have their eyes of their understanding enlightened in Ephesians 1 and 18. Here he assures them of the certain answer to this prayer. If they will walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. Let us rejoice that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15:4. And now all these things happened unto them for a sample, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In 1 Corinthians 10:11. And if you would like to help us on the broadcast, keep us on the air, we'd sure appreciate it. As I, you know, we don't preach for a lot of money or anything, but it would be appreciated. And you can make your check or money order to Take Time for Jesus. Mail it to Take Time for Jesus at Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. We are self-supporting. But support us in our prayers, and like I said, if there's any way you can help us, we sure would appreciate it. May God bless you and keep you all the rest of your days of the life. And look up, Jesus is coming soon.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be back once again. We appreciate you that are listening to us. But again, let me reiterate that pray for those that are in that tragedy up in around and about for different things with the children, a loss of their lives. And I ain't got the answers. I don't know if anybody has. only thing that I know of is we need to be prepared and be ready, because we don't know at any time, as I've often said. Those people, those children and the adults there went there, they had no idea as what the day was going to bring. So let me encourage you, it's time to seek the Lord. My friend, it's time that we begin to get things together with Him, because we don't know the day or the hour that life is to be over for us, or even at the time that when the Lord shall come. A lot of people is leaning towards the 21st day of this month. I don't know what's going to happen, and neither do any man, because the Bible says no man knows, not even to the angels in heaven, knows when the Lord is going to come. And but let me assure you this one thing, that He will return one day, and He's going to come to take a people that is prepared for His coming, them that are watching and waiting. Those people that are out there in the world of sin and doing whatever they desire to do and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, they're not looking for His return. But, my friend, let me encourage you, in the days that we're living in now, they're perilous times, and we need to seek the Lord with our whole heart, as He said. In 2 Chronicles, in the 7th chapter, we find that in the 12th verse, He said, "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayers, and I have chose this place to myself for an house of sanctified. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands." My friend, today that we need to realize that it's time we sought the Lord. If you ever had a notion or in the mind, in your heart, to seek after the kingdom of God, it's time that we begin to do it. With all the things that are happening in this land, with this shooting in the theater here a while back and the other schools that has happened, even to people walking down the street or going down the road in their automobiles, and these things are happening. Surely they are perilous times. You never know when some person that is just so involved in all these drugs and whatever that the devil has put in his mind to do something other like that, that he take it out on you for no reason at all. So it's time we sought the Lord. It's time that we ask Him to end our life, that we can be prepared, that whenever that happens, that life is just a vapor, to it appears and disappears. Have you ever been out on the road in the fog and everything? It just seems like that I've been across these United States in several years that I, as a professional driver, and went out there and I've come into snow, fog, and rain and everything, and it seemed like it was just almost impossible to see. And then there were come a clearing. These things come upon us as your life is just but a vapor. It appears and disappears. But my friend, you need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. You need to be prepared that He will be in your life, that you could seek Him with your whole heart. That he knows where you at. He knows your needs. He came and died for you, and as much as He did for me. He didn't die for just a certain group. He died for all that whosoever will. He said, "Let them come and drink of the waters of life freely." It's His desire that all should be saved, that all should repent. But there's many today that have gotten their lives so involved in the things of this world until they choose that way to live, and whatever way it is. You cannot serve God and the ways of this world at the same time. You got to make a choice, and the choice is yours, my friend. God's will is not that should anyone perish, but that all should repent. But repentance is required, as it was when Peter stood up and said it. That was the first thing he said when they asked him, "Men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved?" And he said, "Repent, every one of you, repent My friend, today we got to repent first and foremost. I've heard people say that there's 60,000 give their heart to the Lord at one crusade. And because they raised a hand and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And they're on their way to heaven. I hope that could be. But without a repented message deeply within their heart, a contrite spirit and calling upon the Lord and seeking him with your whole heart, my thoughts is, I wonder. It's not for me to make the judgment, but my friend, if you don't bear the fruits of repentance, then where is that repentance come from? Repentance is going to bring forth some results of you changing your lifestyle, whatever it might be. You're going to change from darkness, and you're going to come into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to desire in your heart to be in the presence of God's people. You're going to desire to go into a church wherein they preach the word of God and not come up with something other than just whatever. But today we have all mixed up things around in the world, but there's only one way, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no four or five different ways. Someone has said all roads lead to Rome, but I'm sorry to tell you that all roads don't lead to Rome. All religions don't lead you into the kingdom of God. There's only one way. God is merciful. He'll accept you as you are, but he's not going to condone your sinful lifestyle and whatever it might be, trampling in the world and trampling his blood upon his feet, on your feet, and just as ignoring him, trying to say, once saved, always saved, or I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not, idea. It's God said you need to repent, need to seek after him, as we need to find out that we need to seek God and with our whole heart that they may be found. Now, we need to come to him. Daniel even spoke about in 4:29, but if from thence that thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with thine heart and all thy soul. You see, it's got to come from your heart, not from just raising your hand and said, Lord Jesus, casually come into my life. That's not repentance, my friend. You haven't sought the Lord, and you need to seek after him. You need to call upon him while that he will hear you, because you get to the place there where your conscience will be seared with a hot iron, and as the scripture says, and you don't believe in God. We've got the people have pushed God out of the schools and out of many other things simply because the lawmakers listen to a majority of these atheists that says they don't believe in God and they don't want to offend nobody, so they push him out and say we can't do this and can't do that in the name of the Lord and these things, taking the prayer out of the schools and out of other places, even trying to put it out of the anything for politics and all that. My friend, that's why that we're having the problems in the world that we're having today, is because we pushed God out and let the atheism come in. And you know, there's a day that they set aside for them people. It's the first day of April. Bible teaches us that only a fool would say that there's no God. But I want you to know, if there's some people out there that don't believe in a God, then why worry about it? If he's not real, if he's not having anything to do with people at all, then don't worry about it. Why should they worry about whether they pray in school or worry anywhere else? If they don't believe in him, they don't believe in him. He's not going to bother them. If you don't believe in him, he's sure not going to come knocking on your door. And if you've cast him out of your life and said, I don't want nothing to do with you, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself in it. It's from a willing heart, from wanting to serve God, to seek after him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body, to invite him into your house. If you'll notice that this picture that they have, Jesus knocking on the door, represented it. He knocks, and there's no doorknob on the outside. So, my friend, you got to open the door from the inside. You got to open your heart up and let Jesus come in. He's not going to kick the door down. He's not going to make himself present in your life if you don't want him. But I tell you one thing, when it comes time to stand before him and you don't know him as your personal Savior and you haven't got your names on the Lamb's Book of Life, it's been erased, then you're going to wish you had. I'll put it like that. My friend, today it's time that we begin to really seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because the time is coming. All of these other nations are having problems, and it wouldn't surprise me that any time that this one doesn't come to be more apt to the same thing that they're having. It's the enemy of your soul. It's trying to disrupt and bring down and bring forth and to make himself to be something other. Trying to devour and seeking that he may devour. Seeking after to kill and destroy. He came for that purpose. He's the God of this world, and he's trying to let the world know that he's king of this world. You say, well, how do you feel that? How do you say that? Well, when Jesus came into the world and he was there at about the age of 30, he went up into the mountains and fasted 40 days and nights. But in the temptation there, the devil come to him and says, taking him up in a high place, and he said, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, these will I give to you if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't tell him it was not his to give, but he just merely said that it's written, thou shalt not have any other gods before you. See, Satan wants you to worship him. And the old man of sin's going to come on the scene before long. And he's going to come as a meek and lowly, and he's going to come to deceive people. So watch and pray, my friend, seek after the Lord. Read your Bible and see it. These things are going to be fulfilled. Watch the things that are happening in Israel over there. It's a melting pot. It's where it's all going to begin, and it's going to spread over the world. Them people are outside of Jerusalem around about and seeking to destroy the Jewish nation. It's not going to happen because God has said in his word, when they come up there against them in the fierceness of anger, and he's going to destroy them. And they don't understand because they're calling upon the wrong name, my friend. These other gods, Buddha and them, but Buddha's a big old statue, a green thing sitting upon, I guess he's green, sitting upon a stump or whatever. He can't hear and he can't see and he can't smell. He can't do anything but sit there like a dummy that he is. And all these others, these prophets that went out, these false prophets, the Bible speaks about many of them has gone out. Even a lot of them coming in the name of the Lord. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They come spreading their gossip, but they're not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When a preacher fails to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and just comes up and preaches this easy believing stuff, a charismatic way, then something has went wrong with his ministry if God ever chose him into the ministry to start with. My friend, it's time we wake up to reality. As my wife said a few minutes ago, wake up! It's time to look unto the Word of God. It's time to turn our thoughts toward him and let him come into our lives and bring us forth there. And let the living waters come forth from our very essence of our soul. Let God take charge of our lives and quit trying to control it ourselves. Oftentimes I think about that people have gotten to where they want to do all these things in the flesh, and God sits back and let them see what they going to do. But 9 times out of 10, my friend, when they get into serious trouble, they'll call upon the Lord to help them. And God may say, who you calling? I don't know you. I've presented myself to you on Calvary's cross, stretched out my arms and died for you and shed my blood for the remission of your sins, but you hadn't repented, and now you're in trouble, and now you want me to help you with all this when sin got you into the trouble to begin with because of your disobedience and everything. Adam and Eve got into the problems there and got drove out of the garden because of one little thing that they disobeyed in. They partook of the tree of knowledge from good and evil. And that's what the world has done. It fell into that category. So we all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We needed a Savior. And Jesus came. God in the flesh came to die for yours and my sins, my friend, and it's time we need to seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these other things will be added unto us. But so many of you got your ears filled with this prosperity thing. Send me your biggest bill and pray on this rug at a certain time and all this here kind of stuff, and God's going to open up the windows and pour you out a blessing you'll not have room to receive. And all that's good and well, but my friend, if that's all it is, that your time together with God, if that's all you're seeking after, it ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. He wants you to seek after Him with your whole heart for the salvation of your soul. And therefore, these things will be given unto you as you have need of. He didn't ever come to say He was going to supply all your wants. And your wants is going to override any need you have to begin with. You want, you want, you want. And all the needs, as He said, be therefore contented with, if you have bread and water, be contented. But no, I'm afraid, friends, you don't know what that's all about. If you come up in the depression, time of the depression, and you think this here thing that's happened here recently was rough, you know, I come around in the time when I was just a boy, growing up in the depression, not knowing from what day where my next meal was coming from because there was nothing there. My friend today, but God come on the scene, and I may have missed a few meals, but that didn't hurt me. He always supplied the needs, and He's done that all the days of my life. I ain't no rich man, but I'm rich in Christ Jesus, and that's all that really matters. I haven't got $1 million or whatever. Never made that much. Probably might have amounted that if I'd have been all put in one basket during my lifetime of working there and put it all together. It might mount up to that much. But my friend, I'm rich in Christ Jesus. My Father owns it all. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills that the cattle stands on. So therefore, why should I worry about what tomorrow's going to bring? God's got it all under control, and He'll supply my need tomorrow. It may be that tomorrow may never come for me, but nevertheless, if I'm hid in that tower, in that name of Jesus, ain't gonna worry me no how. It's just a short cut to glory. But I believe that God is able to do all that exceedingly greater than what we might even ask or think. So it's time we sought the Lord. It's time we seek after Him and His kingdom. Seek after the Lord while He is nigh. One of these days you may come up and put Him off too many times, and when the time comes you seek after Him. You be like the five foolish virgins. You let your oil go out, your lamps quit burning and everything, and you go to get something other to help you out, and when they come back, the bridegroom's come and shut the door, and you knock on the door, and He said, I don't know you. It'll be a terrible situation. So while the Lord is nigh, while there's time, while there's breath in your body, it's time to seek the Lord. Glory to God. It's time that we begin to realize that these days that we're living in is perilous times. It's begun to show up in many different ways. We've seen that the Bible says that there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and all, and these things are happening. Remember that the science said there had a tornado on the moon here not long ago, on the sun not long ago, and they're trying to get this and that and the alignment of all this here and everything. I don't know too much about that. I can't see how them people are way back yonder in days that they say that they could line up the moon and the stars and all the planets and everything, and it didn't have nothing that we've got today. But nevertheless, God's got it all under control, my friend. He's got the very day in His hands. He can hold the seas, all the water in the world. He can hold it in the palm of His hand. He can make a way, a path in the sea. And He walks across the clouds there. Someone said, it's wrote in the scripture there, rather, that it said the clouds are the dust of His feet. So, and the heavens is His throne and the earth is His footstool. And you think that He cannot control these things? But only if you allow Him. It's going to come a time when things is going to get bad, my friend. You got to realize it. You need to seek God. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. The time to call upon Him is while life is in the body. After you're dead, as the tree falls, it's going to lay there. I've heard people say that it's one religion that goes on and tell them that they paid a man so much money or so many thousand dollars and they'll pray him out of hell. And I don't believe that, my friend. Ain't no amount of money going to pay you out of hell if you get there. And if you get to heaven, you ain't going to want to leave. They tell me that Smith Wigglesworth stood his wife up against the wall and kept praying, and she kept praying, and he kept her and got her back, and she won't know why he called her back. God, so once you get to the kingdom of God, you ain't going to want to come back. But in hell, you'd hope that somebody would pay the price to get you out, but it's impossible. It's impossible. Once you're there, you're there. So the tree lies, so the tree falls, so shall it lie. If it falls in corruption, it will lie in corruption. If it falls in righteousness, it will raise in righteousness. My friend, it's time that we seek the Lord. It's time that we begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And while that there is life in our body, when it's life is gone, the body can't call up for nothing. The rich man seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He was comforted, but he was tormented in the flames. But my friend, once you get there, there ain't no way that nobody can come and rescue you. So don't rely upon this kind of stuff. It's time that we begin to seek after the kingdom of God, calling upon the name of the Lord and repenting of our sins. Though your sins be red like scarlet, they can make them whiter than snow. Some people want to live in their past. They want to tell everybody what they done back in their old sinful world and everything when before they come to know the Lord. God forgive us of a sin. He said He cast them in the sea of forgetless, no longer to be remembered about it. And so therefore, why should we go drag all that stuff up out of the sea of forgetfulness like the devil tries to drag him up? He's a deep sea diver. He'll go down there and try to punish you for something that God's done forgive you for him, and He's forgive you of all those sins, and the devil will try to make you feel guilty because of them. Honey, if you've repented and got God has come into your life, don't let that devil tell you and make you feel guilty of what your past is. Again, just tell him that he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. They're under the blood that God has forgive you, and that's all that really matters. It's time we begin to realize that God is sovereign. He can get along without you and I, but we need Him desperately. And these days we live in, we need Him just as much as we need the breath in our body to keep us functioning. The breath still warm from the Master's nostrils. We need it to keep life in our body, because when the breath of life is gone, honey, the body, this old tent that we live in, that soul is gone, and there's nothing that you nor I nor no one else can do. But my friend, if that soul is hid in Christ Jesus, calling upon the name of the Lord and has repented, it's far better off than you and I. Far better off. It's done. Come at rest and waiting upon the time that when God gathers all of His children into His kingdom and we sit down with Him there. Oh, hallelujah. It's time we begin to seek after the Lord in His righteousness. Forget about the things that's in your past and just look up and draw strength from the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Let Him come into your life. Lead and and direct you, let you walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to be darkened by the things in your past. Not let these things come up into your life and cause you to feel sorry. If you've repented of them, they're washed away, forgotten. God ain't going to remember them against you. So why do you let the devil aggravate you with it if you called upon the name of the Lord in repentance? The devil can do only what God will allow him to do. When Job was there, Job wrote there and he said, God reminded the devil, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Is not he perfect and upright in every way? You got a hedge about him. If you want that hedge built about you, that the protection of the Spirit and the power of the living God, you got to call upon him. You got to repent. You got to live righteous. You got to leave off the things of the world and seek after the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We got to realize that he is our only hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. My friend, he's the one that died for us. He shed the blood for us, and without the shedding of blood, there was no remission for our sins. He died for you and I, and he made it possible that we could come into the kingdom of God, because the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, to wherein that there was only the high priest could go into and take the sacrificial offering, the blood of the lamb, and put it on the mercy seat. But the lamb slain from the foundation of the world carried that blood that he shed and carried it and put it on the mercy seat for you and I. And we no longer, he is our high priest. We no longer have to have a man of the high priest. We can go into the most holiest of holiest, but in the presence of God, calling upon the name of our God for ourselves and not for somebody else to do it for us. We don't need a mere man to do it. The man called Jesus has already paid that price. It ended all human animal sacrifices and brought forth, and he was obedient even to death on the cross, to whereby he could bring life to you and I and bring it to be more abundantly. I'm looking for that abundant life. And that abundant life to me is when I come into the kingdom of God and he gives me the crown of life that never fadeth away, eternal life. That's what I'm seeking after. Cadillacs and things of that nature don't interest me. They once did when I was everybody else, desired these things of the world, but now I'm desiring the righteousness of God more than anything else, because it's the only thing that's going to go with me beyond the grave. All of our other worldly possessions that we might accumulate, or what all these titles we may have gained along this world, my friend, will all fade away. Once you're gone, you're gone. There's a lot of people that are being praised and worshipped, being praised anyway, and thought well of, and that's nothing wrong with that. That's done dead and gone on. But my friend, they are there, and wherever their lifestyle carried them to, if it was in the kingdom of God, then they're there. They've got it all laid up there for them, and nothing can destroy it. But my friend, if his lifestyle was of the world and the lust thereof, he's down there in hell, and it ain't gonna make no difference to him, because he's gonna be tormented. My friend, today, I said down there in hell, I don't know where hell is. The Bible does say that Jesus went before he ascended. He first descended, and he went into the heart of the earth, and he preached to them that was in captive there, and led captive. They waited upon the promise of the Lord to come, the Messiah. They waited upon him in Abraham's bosom, or in the valley of faith, where it was at. But my friend, when Jesus came, he preached to them, but them that believed upon him was looking for him to come as a Messiah. They came forth. Many of the dead, they said, was walking on the streets of Jerusalem. Some people said that was the time that the first resurrection. Well, it might have been in that particular way, but it wasn't that one that he said it was going to come at the end of the age. And them that are dead in Christ shall rise first, and them that remain to be alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I don't know where all that come from, but they tell me that some people believe that. But nevertheless, he believes what he wants to, but I believe the scripture. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that God's word is truth from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm looking to him to be the author and the finisher of my faith, not the arm of flesh. I'm not leaning upon the arm of flesh. I'm leaning upon the everlasting arm of God. That's the only arm that's going to do me right. He said in his word, he said, and when he looked out into the world, he seen all this corruption and everything like that. His own right arm brought salvation to. Hallelujah. We need to realize that it only comes from God. It only comes from God. That Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but it was God in the flesh, and the flesh hung on the cross and died for you and I, and he shed his blood. My friend, it's all in Jesus. It's not about what I did or who Denny did or whatever and everything, but it's what Jesus done. That's the message that needs to be preached. It's what Jesus done for the soul of man. He came and died for it, and he wanted us to seek after him, the kingdom of God, first and foremost, and all the rest of the stuff will be added unto us. As you have a need of something other, God will meet that need if you'll seek after him first. Be obedient to him. He ain't gonna let you go hungry. You may miss a meal or two, but that probably wouldn't hurt you either. If you're like me, you'd need to lose a pound or two. But nevertheless, a new Cadillac, hey, a T-model Ford get you to where you're going, that'd be all right. The need be met. If it's a mule in a wagon, if the need be met, it'd keep you from walking. That's the need. But my friend, people are so high-minded anymore. They want to go here and there, and in a moment, in the flash of an eye, you might say. And they tell me that somebody said that they was already finding places up there where that there was life on these other places and shown signs of and everything. And somebody said the other day that they already trying to get together. They want to sell property up there. Well, you go ahead and buy you some. But if you miss out on God, you're going to go to a different direction. There ain't no other places the Bible speaks about except heaven and hell. My friend, I don't know about these other places out there. I haven't been up there. But I want to go to the place that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare for you a place that when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what I'm seeking after. If it's somewhere or another beyond the stars or wherever it's at. But he said he would create a new heaven and a new earth. He didn't say anything about he's going to ship you up there and there's some other planet on a rocket ship. He said he'd be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. But it'll be by the power of God and the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is going to break the gravitation pull of this earth, and you'll meet the Lord in the air if you've been born again. Them that left behind is going to reap the whirlwind. They're going to reap what they sowed. Well, because they sowed to the flesh, and they'll be left behind and destroyed by the same thing that they worshiped. If they cleave to the desires of this world and the flesh. My friend, it's time we need to seek after God. We need to seek after him and with our whole heart. We need to find him. Hosea says 10 and 12 said, sow to yourself in righteousness and reap the mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till the coming and the and rained righteousness upon you. I want you to think about it, my friend. It's time. The time is now. We've got these other nations getting thinking that they got the nuclear power and all these things. Some of them people ain't got no more concern for your life than they have for their own, because they just soon to kill themselves. They're doing it all the time. These people going around and telling these people strapping bombs onto them and blowing themselves up just to kill two or three other people maybe, and thinking that they're going to get a river of honey and seven virgins. It's a bunch of junk. And people need to realize if ever a person could come back from hell and talk to them people, if it were possible, he needs to do it and let them know, hey, you ain't going to get no river honey and you ain't going to get no seven virgins, but you'll get the lake of fire and punishment and torment for taking other people's lives as well as you did your own. My friend, it's time we wake up to reality. There's only one plan to salvation, and that's a plan that God gave to us in his written letter. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We want to lift him up. not something else, not another religion, but the salvation, the Word of God. Salvation for the soul of man through the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, my God, my friend, it's time that we begin to realize that this world is teeter-tottering on the word of destruction. It's coming to an end, whether you like it or whether I do or not, but there's nothing we can do about it. The Bible teaches that God said His word was going to be fulfilled to every dot of the I and every cross of the T. And there's a lot of things that's coming up on the scene now that you ain't ever seen before. And there's going to be a lot more. The destruction of all these things, the storms and the famine, and the crisis now with the drought out there and our food supply is being shortened. The prices are going up. He said there would come a time that we're in that there would be, you get a penny for a day's ration of food, just common, ordinary food, would cost you a day's wages. My friend, it's time we sought the Lord. It's time we seek after the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Be prepared in the time. We don't know the day or the hour that the trumpet's going to sound and the Lord's going to appear. We don't know, but I'm warning you, my friend. I'm sitting here at this microphone and warning you, flee from the wrath to come. Get your heart right with God. Seek after the kingdom of God before it's too late. Because after He comes, takes His bride away, and the Spirit of God is lifted off this earth, you're not going to have the second opportunity as some people wants to try that you're going to. When God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost is left off this earth, who's going to restrain the powers of the devil? That old Antichrist is going to come and put a mark on you, and you don't buy and sell, and he's going to come and he's going to think he's going to bring peace, and when he stands up, declares himself to be God, it's going to be rough around the camp. And if you ain't got hid in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be able to stand against the files of the devil by yourself. It's going to take God to help in you, the hope of glory, to help you to stand against the wiles of the devil. My friend, we got to realize that it's time that we begin to understand and realize that before the Lord comes, you may go to the place of in the grave or by whatever means. I don't know. You don't know, and I ain't got all the answers. But I'm telling you, the one that's got the answers, and he holds your life in the palm of his hand, his name's Jesus. And you need to call upon him before it's too late. You need to look to him. For he is the only way that that your sins can be forgiven is through that precious blood of Jesus, through that name. And in him, you can hide yourself and you be safe from the storm that is yet to come upon the land. Oh, that God said it in the last days, if it weren't for him, if he didn't shorten those days, no flesh would be saved. It's going to get rough around the camp, my friend. It's time we call upon the name of the Lord. Repent. Jesus. Being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's time we need to call upon the name of the Lord. There's no other name given among us whereby that we can be saved, but at the name of Jesus. So it's up to you, my friend. Time's running out, whether you realize it or not. If you think you got 10 or 15 years more of life, I don't know. You may have. But I'm thinking that the Lord's time, he said that he was going to come, is getting close to that time. So may God bless you, write to us, and may the Lord keep you as our prayers. Remember those who lost their children and keep them in your prayers. May God bless you until next week.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart.